Check, can you hear me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Appreciate that. Amen. Well, good morning. It's an awesome day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We have no sad stories to tell. For those that might be expecting it, might be in the wrong place. Praise God. Good things going on. It's truly an honor to have our First Lady here with us this morning and celebrating her birthday. She just gets younger in appearance, regardless of what the age or the birth, the date might be, because God renews her strength daily, as he does our own Pastor Jim. Amen. And so we're just honored, thankful that our God is faithful. Amen. Well, just to kind of give you guys an update on me, traveling season is about to start with Zero Gravity Outreach pretty soon. So don't have a lot of stuff filled up on the calendar, but definitely on June I'll be getting ready to hit the road with the guys. They just had an event last night in Watford City, North Dakota. And so I'm going to be joining. I think my first time with them, I'm going to be heading out in June going to Nebraska. But then it's going to start filling up because we're doing some stuff with Lewis Palau Ministries and some other people, so opportunities to go to Seattle and other places. So I'm gonna be flying quite a bit in the next few weeks, but it's gonna be good things, and we're expecting a lot of harvest, a lot of new souls coming into the kingdom. So be lifting us up. Just think of Zero Gravity Outreach, be lifting us up, and just praying for God's divine safety and protection on those that are traveling, and even when the guys are doing the wild and crazy stunts that they do, that divine intervention and protection is with them. Amen. But just appreciate Brother Tim Wilkinson, him and his wife, and just the things that God does tremendously through them. I'm serious, one of these days we're going to bring them to Austin, and you're going to see, like, that's like your long-lost family members, because they think just like us, they believe just like us, and so it's just refreshing to walk with like-minded individuals who have the same heart for the kingdom of God. So just a divine thing that God did when he hooked us up, be a blessing. Just a few weeks ago, I've only known these people since June of last year, and it feels like I've been knowing them forever, but by the grace of God, Brother Tim asked me to join the board of their ministry, so I'm on the board now, and it's just a blessing just to walk with them and just see all that God has in store. So good things going on. Today, I want to pretty much give you all a reminder of something that you already know, and the thing is that sometimes we can know something, but we can lose sight of it because we forget the importance of it. Brother Richard was sharing with us, how many people were here on Wednesday? If you weren't here, you need to go online and look at it. Just a tremendous blessing of the word that you shared. But one of the things that he shared with us, Brother Richard was sharing with us the other day, was that you look at the example of Pastor Jim that he has set before us, and regardless of what's going on in that man's situation, circumstance, whatever it might be, the steadfast, continual declaration of the "it is written" word of God in his life. Amen. It's unwavering. It doesn't change. And just I praise God for that example that he placed before us. But sad to say, church family, everybody ain't walking like that calls themselves a pastor. Sometimes the people in the congregation have a stronger testimony than the pastor. But God gave us, just knew exactly what to do when he blessed us with our man of God. And it's just an honor to see his faith lived out, regardless of the lies or the attacks of the enemy. You can wake him up in the middle of the night and you're going to hear faith. You're going to hear faith. You're going to hear. I don't care how he feels. I don't care what the x-ray or this ray says. You're going to get the declaration of the "it is written" word of God. And we as a church family are in complete agreement with his testimony and with his stand of faith. Amen. To not have that, I'm sorry. We can't negate the purpose and plan that God has for this church body. And just like I know, even with Pastor Jim, there have been many of you under this body who have been under attack. And all it is a lie of the enemy to try to get you to unplug from the faith that lives on the inside of you. Warning, don't do it. Don't unplug from the faith that you know has worked and will continue to work in your life. There's no time or opportunity for us to give up. There's been the declaration has gone forth. If you don't quit, you win. It's always too soon to quit. You can't afford it. Can't afford it. So I would encourage you, go back and look at what the Lord has spoken in your lives. If it's been on the shelf, dust it off. And start reminding yourself of the promises that God has given, not only us as a body corporately, but individually, the things that he's spoken. And guess what? Start speaking them again. If they've been laying dormant, it's time to resurrect them and begin to decree. And don't be sidestepped by what it doesn't look like or even what it might look like. Continue to speak faith. Continue to speak the promises. Because that's what God wants in there. So here's the thing of the enemy. What he desires to do to us as a body is to either silence us or to tempt us to speak something contrary to it is written. That's his job description. If he can keep you silent, he got you. Because out of the mouth is where our faith is demonstrated and displayed. This thing right here, we need to understand how powerful it is. We need to understand that if he can get us to keep this dormant, he's got us. Because Jesus defeated him with what? It is written. Right. He kept telling Jesus, you know, it's written. You can do this. Or you didn't. And Jesus said, no, fool. Let me tell you, it is written of what my Father has said. And that's my stance. Got to continue to be in that heart mindset of declaring what the it is written word of God says. Or like I said, the other thing is to tempt us to speak something contrary to what the word says. Lord, I know you said by stripes I'm healed, but I've been dealing with this thing for a long time. Wrong answer. Stupid answer. Don't unplug from what we know the Lord has promised us. Because if the enemy can get us in that, in either one of those areas where we're silent and don't say nothing, or if we start thinking contrary to what he's promised, we defeat ourselves. See, that's what the enemy knows. He needs your very faith to defeat you. And so all he's looking for you to do is unplug, whether you don't say nothing or you say something different than what God has said about you. We can't afford to be in that situation, church body. We got to continually speak what the Father has said is ours and belongs to us. So today what we're going to be talking about is if it matters in the heart, it matters in the mouth. If it matters in the heart, it matters in the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the scripture says, the mouth speaks. What are we filling our hearts with? What are we meditating on? What are we looking at? What are we keeping constantly before us that will allow us to not only, like Pastor Jim, you see, the reason why that man of God can do that is because he's filled his heart with so much of the word of God that you push him and that's all that's going to come out. Guess what? He's no respecter of persons. God wants to do the same thing in each one of us. He wants us to fill our hearts like a sponge. You get a sponge so full of water and you can barely touch it, and that whatever's in it is going to come out. But the question is, what are we putting in our sponge? What are we allowing our hearts to be meditating on and get into a place where it's just second nature to us because it's who we are? See, that's what the enemy, and it's like Brother Kim was saying the other day. It says that the enemy, the first thing he comes to do is what? Steal the word. Why? He knows, because if you lay hold of that word, that's the regulator that's going to fix this thing right here to be directed in the right direction to change the course of your life. So that's why he wants to steal that word, because he understands if you take that word and you apply it here and we apply it here and get it so much in us that regardless of what he's doing around us, it doesn't faze us. He knows that he's in trouble. He knows we're not going to believe the lies. Scripture says that we believe a lie and we're damned by it. Why? Because we've taken something other than the word of God. We can't get to that place, church body. We have to meditate continually on the word and what the word promises. It is extremely important for us, both corporately and individually, to speak what the word says about us, what the word says belongs to us. That's where we have to live continually. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to look at some scriptures that kind of reinforce the power of what we say with our mouths. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. This kept coming into me, and it started, my brother Chris came after service and was asking us some things, and the first thing that I told him had to do with the words that we speak. And God would not let me get away from this all week long. He kept dealing with me on it. It's the importance of we have to allow our mouths to line up with the truth that lies on the inside of us. It's very important. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And you're going to see a glimpse, very familiar passage, but you're going to see a glimpse of the Father and how he is. And guess what? I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Okay? Now, this is how the Lord God created everything, with the words that came out of his mouth. Guess what, God like people? We made in his image. We got his DNA. So the same worlds that he created with his own mouth, every day you and I are framing our world. Every day we, now the thing is I'm looking at what kind of construction materials are we using. Are we using destructive things, or are we using life-giving things, which is the, it is written word of God? That's what we have to be in the same mindset. God himself was speaking in faith. And he wasn't saying, you know, I'm going to create this earth, but I don't know if it's going to hang just right. The scripture says when he created everything, it was good. It was good. That's what we should be framing our world with. Good things, which are God things. And that's what the word of God in our mouth will create. It will create those things. It will, the darkness that might be around, when we speak into it, the light will penetrate it and will change it. But we can't speak the darkness. We can't allow the darkness to remain and wonder why things aren't changing. It all starts with this. It's so important. How were we made? Once again, in his image. If we were made in his image, guess what? The same way he created his world, we create our world with this. How and what are we framing our world to be? That's the question we got to ask ourselves every day. What kind of day am I going to have by how I start ordering it with just what I say about the day? You know, when we say, it's little things. It's real easy to allow a little thing to creep up in. Man, I don't know how we're going to get ahead. You know, sometimes those things just come out of our mouth. We don't even think about it. I'm like, hold up. wait a minute. The Lord shall supply all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. I will lack for no good thing. Proverbs chapter 18, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, verses 20, 21. And it says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You want to know how somebody's living? Just look at the fruit. You want to see how somebody's talking? Look at the fruit. Because the fruit will display. You look at an apple tree, it's clear. Why? Because there's apples on that tree. That's the seed that it took to create that tree. Every word that we speak is a seed that we're planting. It could be good seed. It could be bad seed. But it all starts with this thing right here, that every time you're releasing a word, inside of that word is an encapsulated seed that somehow or another is going to take root. So that's why it's important that this be full of life. Be full of life. If you don't want, it's very clear. You know, sometimes I love messing with people's world because they'll say, man, I feel like I'm getting sick. And I say, I guess you are. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? You said it. People don't think about the things that they say. And some people say, well, that's so nitpicky. Well, guess what? Words that we speak are nitpicky. Some people's lives, you think about it, some people's lives are scarred for years with things that a parent or someone said to them growing up. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll never be nothing. Why do you think that? Because that became a seed that was planted in that person's soul, and it takes the anointing. Psychology can help. Yes, I love psychologists, thank God, but it's nothing like the anointing of God that can speak into that person's life and tell them the purpose they have. But even us as parents, we've got to be careful what we speak over our children. Very important. Even what we speak to one another as believers. Because you never know. I'm going to tell you, growing up, I wanted, in my mind, I was like, man, I'm going to be a music major growing up. I just knew it. I was like, I want to be a music major. Go to school. And it took a lady that I looked up to, admired, and she put that seed of doubt in my mind. What are you going to do with a music degree? You can't do nothing with a music degree. And just because of who she was in my life, I was like, ooh. Exactly. Like Sister Lou said, it deflated my hopes. And so that's what we got to realize. Every word that we speak and who we speak it to, how we speak it, it can have an eternal impact on an individual's life. So we have to order our speech in line with life, because it's seeds being planted with every word that's transpiring from our mouth. We are planting seeds. The fruit in our life will display what we are choosing to say. The fruit in our life will display what we are choosing to say. What are we choosing to say today? That's why I say, even with our agreement with Pastor Jim, don't allow the foolish people that I've heard have said this. I wish I knew who they were so we could line them up and I could give them a slap. When they say this crap of, well, yes, I said crap, sorry. But this stuff of, you know, well, if he believes so much, let's see if it's really going to happen this time. Really? Stupid. Because if you were in his position, you would want everybody in the world agreeing with you. It makes no sense. It's almost like we're trying to make faith a competition thing. When if the Bible says if one is affected, guess what? We're all affected. So we have to stay connected even with the things that we're decreeing, what we're speaking. It's like, Pastor, I know he says this. Don't nobody pray for me, because it's already settled. The word of God says that by the stripes of Yeshua HaMashiach, Pastor Jim Lillard was made whole. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. By those same stripes, every last one of you whole. I've been decreeing daily in line with what our man of God says. I'm decreeing that none of us, just like our confession this morning, none of us will fall victim to the lies of sickness, disease, infirmity. None of those things can exists in anyone that's part of House of the Lord Fellowship Church. That's my declaration in agreement with Pastor. And same thing, no lack, no want, no need. We are thoroughly furnished and entire. Continually speaking the word. That's where God wants us to abide and continually remain. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Matthew 15, verse 11. This is Messiah speaking. Once again, just some words from the scripture, just pointing to the importance of what comes out of our mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. This is Christ. He says, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. And it just goes back to what we were saying about the seed that we release with our mouth. But it all starts with what we're meditating on. You can't speak life and watch CNN or Fox or whatever news preference you have, ABC, CBS, you can't, there's so much mess on there that you start meditating on it and you start pretty much repeating it, guess what? That's not bringing life. Because regardless of what's going on in the world, we know what the Lord has said. So that this should be our news right here. The good news that we declare in the midst of even, I don't care how it looks. I don't care what world leaders are doing. They are not on the throne. They are not on the throne. And guess what? You and I, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. The word of God says that we will decree a thing and it will be established. You know, the prophets would go right in the midst of the king and say, Mr. King, I know you're doing all of this stuff, but here's what thus say the Lord. They could either cooperate with it or get replaced. I mean, it's the bottom line is that in Christ, we have the authority. And so that's why it's important for us, the words that we speak, they have to be in line with God's kingdom will, plan, and purpose. Otherwise, guess what? We're in the way. We're in the way. I don't want my mouth to be in the way of God's plan and purpose of what he wants to accomplish. I want to be in the flow, not against it. I want to speak in agreement with what the Father says. And in doing so, I know that it's a done deal. It's an assured thing because I'm in agreement with him. One of the things that I was looking at is in the book of James. And if you would, you can turn to James chapter 1. We're just going to stay there briefly. But in the book of James, historically, the background is that the book of James or the letter of James, James was what they consider many, because there's a lot of people in those times named James, but it's acquainted to the scripture, the epistle of James, is that this was the brother of Christ, okay, that wrote this letter. And one of the things about, I'll read this, it says, the author identifies himself as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. The epistle is traditionally attributed to James, the brother of Jesus, and the audience is generally considered to be Jewish Christians who were dispersed outside of Palestine. Framed within an overall theme of patience, perseverance during trials and temptations, James writes to the believers to encourage them to live consistently with what they have learned of Christ. He wants his readers to mature in their faith in knowing that Christ and living by what he has said day by day will strengthen them. He condemns various sins, including pride, hypocrisy, favoritism, and slander. And he encourages believers to humbly live by godly rather than worldly wisdom and pray in all situations. So you look at this, in the framing of this, knowing that this was, which, like I said, historically attributed to being the brother of Jesus who wrote this epistle. I want you to think back, and when Jesus was with his disciples, how his own family treated him, okay? Just think in that line. They probably thought he was crazy. Jesus so much had to even say, who is my mother? And who is my brothers? He said, those that do the will of my Father. He distanced himself from them because obviously they were not doing or speaking in accordance to who he was. So you see the importance of what James goes on and talks about. And there's one particular area in this letter that he talks about the tongue. He talks about what we speak. Now, you can imagine if this was his brother prior to him understanding and his eyes being open to see who Christ was, the things that they said about him. Just think about it. The things that they said about him, not fully understanding who he was. Man, we're going to have to get this brother some help. He's saying some things that, I mean, they was trying to get him over to them and say, you really need to calm down. You really need to chill. And Jesus had to literally separate himself from them. That not only had with the things that they were acting towards him, but the things that they were actually saying about him, which if you think about it, were probably in direct conflict with what the Spirit of God was doing in him. So they basically were becoming, by their attitude, by their actions, even probably by their words, they were becoming an enemy of the will of God. But by the grace of God, his brother's eyes were opened. And he sees the importance of saying the right things. And so we're going to look at James chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 26. Verse 26, and then once we go there, we're going to go to James chapter 3. So, but for right now, let's look at 1:26, and it says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Now, if you're writing your Bibles or you're taking notes, when it says religion, this man thinks himself to be religious, I put in parentheses, has a form of godliness. So religion in a sense is just bare minimum a form of godliness, okay? It has a form, an expression of worshiping God, a bare minimum. Now we know that there is a higher level of faith, which is relationship, okay? You know, but he says just bare minimum. This person is religious. They just have a form, a bare minimum of coming to the Father. He goes, but this person does not bridle their tongue. Their religion, what they're putting their faith in, is worthless. Okay, now let's hold your finger there. Let's go to James chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 2. And we're looking at one particular word that stood out in these passages. James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So we're looking at, once again, that previous chapter in verse 1, that word bridle is there. And then secondly, it says bridle here. What is a bridle? It's something that you use to put in the mouth of a horse to control the horse, okay? Let me ask you a question. Does that horse put that bridle on themselves?
Nope.
If it does, I want to see it. I can make a lot of money with that picture. But no, it takes someone, it takes the master of that horse to put that bridle in its mouth, and it's for the horse to go in the direction that it's supposed to go in. The Lord wants us to trust him enough that we allow him to put his bridle of the word in our mouth, that the direction that we speak is in line with it is written. That's what he wants. But we have to be willing. The horse, you know, you can fight a horse all day long, but unless they submit and allow that bridle to go on, it's not going to go on. Guess what? The Lord is not going to override your mouth. we've got to submit it to him. We've got to understand the importance of what we're saying and come in line with his plan to allow this to be in perfect alignment with kingdom plan and purpose. Let's look at... And I would encourage you all, read James chapter 1 and James chapter 3. They're very powerful scriptures. But once again, this being a man who was related to the Lord, obviously, and he spends a lot of time speaking about the tongue. He talks about how the tongue is almost like the little ships that have just a rudder, just that little tiny rudder can take that ship, exactly, brother, steer that ship in directions, that little tiny rudder. This thing here is so powerful. He says it's set ablaze. It's like, it's so powerful, and it has to be aligned with kingdom truth. Very important. So we've outlined these passages that kind of show us the importance of ordering our mouth, ordering the speech that we, the things that we say. So how can we assure that our mouth is aligned for kingdom purpose? Three things. I want you to write these down in these passages of scripture. Number one, we have to continually meditate on the it is written word of truth. We have to continually do it. You know, Joshua, a very familiar passage of scripture, he says that when we do continually meditate on the word, he says we make our own way prosperous. Because we're meditating on that which brings life. Amen. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. the words of my mouth, but then he goes on to the source of where the words of his mouth, the meditation of my heart. Once again, what I was saying earlier, what am I filling my heart with? Whatever I'm filling my heart with, whatever my heart is set on, is what's going to be where my mouth is. And our prayer is, Lord, allow what we go into us to be so ingrained in our hearts that we don't even entertain anything negative. We don't entertain anything that's contrary to what you desire for our lives and for our world around us. That same chapter, verse 1 in James, he says, therefore, James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, the word implanted is able to save our souls. The word implanted. You know, the reason why, and the wonderful thing, we had the Messiah who walked out how to live a victorious life. And he is, like I said, he is no respecter of persons. And the beautiful thing about it is he did it for us to model us that as possible. But he was the greatest sacrifice because he did it without sin. So he knows where we walk. He understands. He walked right where we walk and deal with the same things that we deal with. But guess what? He grew, the scripture says, in admonition and favor with God and man. He was growing in this, church. He was growing, and it is written. He allowed that word to be so much in him that that's all that came out. He said, I don't speak anything of myself. I only speak what the Father has said. I only do what the Father has done. It's because he spent time in that word and allowed himself to be changed, so much so that he so boldly could declare the word that they were like, who is this man? How can he say these things? Guess what? When you start walking in the authority that God has for each one of us and you start decreeing things, people are going to say the same thing about you. Who you think you are? I'm a son of God. I'm walking the way my Father would want me to walk. And to say anything contrary to what he has not said is for me to dishonor the family. I'm not going to say something contrary to what I know the Father has said is supposed to be the things, my language. I'm supposed to speak kingdom. The second thing, after we continually meditate on the it is written word of truth, we have to, once again, going back to the bridal example, we have to submit our mouths to the Father. Submit a submitted language, a submitted tongue to the will, plan, and purpose of God. James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but no one, get this, he says, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restful evil and full of deadly poison. Once again, in parentheses, next to when it says, but no one, I put but God. No one but God can tame this thing. But understanding, it all starts with, number one, what am I meditating on? And then it translates to after I've meditated on it and it's become a part of me, pretty soon that's what's going to start coming out because I've allowed my mouth to be submitted to his plan and purpose. Psalm chapter 141, verse 3. Look at what the psalmist, his prayer. Psalm chapter 141, verse 3, he says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Don't you think the Father, if that is our heart's desire, he's going to allow that to be assured. He's going to allow, but it has to be us submitting, Lord, put that bridle of your word in my mouth. And when we make that choice, once again, everything that he desires for our world to be is going to be manifested because we are in complete agreement with the kingdom, will, plan, and purpose of the Father. And then the third thing that we have to do, it's like we always say, we talk about practicing our faith. It's all about practicing what we speak after that. You've allowed yourself to allow that word to be you meditate on in your heart on what it promises. You submit your tongue. Now it's time to release the promises. It's time to start finding something that you can resurrect. You know, the prophet saw all of these dead bones And God told him, prophesy, man of God. He's saying that to Brother Bob. He's saying that to Brother Derek. He's telling us, find those things that don't look like life, and you start speaking to them. In your life individually, but outside of your life. People in your workplace, they not got, guess what? You ain't got to let them know you all Christian and all that stuff. Start speaking. Start speaking. When you get to work before them, lay your hands on their office and speak life. Father, I thank you that your will, plan, and purpose is being accomplished in this person's life. Just those little things like that of releasing, practicing, speaking life in every situation until it becomes the norm. That's why God flows the way he does through Pastor Jim. Because it was something that it started as a small thing, but now it's second nature. That's why people marvel when they're driving down, 35, and he immediately gets to that point and starts speaking to Austin. That's not something that just happened all of a sudden. That's something that he did over and over until now. It's just a part of who he is. Same thing with us. Find those situations that don't reflect life, that don't reflect God's will, plan, and purpose, and start speaking to them. I was at the barbershop the other day, and they were talking. One of my brothers at a barbershop was talking about, let me preface this because I don't want anyone to get offended. If you wear a suit to church, I'm happy for you. We thank God. I love suits. We live in Texas, man. I start sweating profusely if I start putting on a suit. So, and I don't want y'all looking at me thinking I'm crazy because I got all this water on my head and I'm sweating. So I'd rather come to church comfortable, clean, comfortable. But this made me so angry. This guy said that this pastor from the pulpit, these people were visiting. And he said, brother, I'm just letting you know, if you don't have a church, you don't have a suit that you can put on to come to church, you need to find another church to go to. I would have got right up and walked out. Really? Really? So that's what we've come to see. It's sad because that person could have been coming to that church to find a word that would change their life. But he was more focused on what they had on rather than the condition of their heart. It's a lot of people call themselves pastors. it's just ridiculous. And so that once again, it all goes back to what is coming out of here. So many people, the direction of their life could have totally been changed if a believer would have said, in tune with the Spirit of God, spoke a word that could have changed the whole direction of that individual's life. And so we have to be cognizant because there may be, and it might not even make sense to us sometimes. The Lord may say, just tell this person over here that I love them. Just something that simple. We have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Once again, it all comes from meditating on his word. And the word, the Spirit, the word, all of those things are connected. When you start allowing the word of God to be in your heart, you open yourselves up to the voice of God. Because that's the only thing he speaks is his word. And so he can begin to direct you in ways that you're like, is that really you, God? Well, if it's something that he's telling you to do to help somebody, I don't think the devil would tell you to help nobody. You know what I'm saying? But if he's directing you to be a blessing or to share something or to encourage somebody, allow that, once again, your tongue to be submitted to his will and speak those things. So in reference to what we were talking about practicing and speaking those life into those situations, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, once again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech always be with grace. Somebody should have told that to that pastor. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. What does salt do? You put a little bit of salt in something, guess what? It's going to affect it. And so when our speech is seasoned with the grace of God like salt, it's gonna impact something. It's gonna change something. And that's what the Lord wants us continually, to let our speech always be full of his grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. We very familiar passage. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will always give grace to those who hear it. Even when we fall, you know what I'm saying? We are, my wife was talking to our class about the dispensation that we live in of grace. I want to encourage you, let you know, God is not looking at you, and every time you say a non-faith word, that he's slapping you over the head, because that's not how God operates, okay? But but the understand the thing is that he wants our hearts to be in order, and his words that we speak in order with his plan and purpose. So it's important for us that when we catch ourselves, and the Holy Spirit will let you know when you said something that was kind of contrary to his will, and I would encourage you at that moment, decree crop failure over that thing. Decree it. Say, Father, forgive me for saying something contrary to what I know is true. Because he'll let you know. He'll be like, no, you shouldn't have said that. And you're like, that's his love, because he doesn't want that bad seed to start producing. So just declare, Father, I just speak crop failure over that word. That word was not of faith. I just spoke out of the heat of the moment and didn't realize what your word says at the moment. And so, and guess what? He will honor that. He will honor that. And once again, just like a good farmer, when he sees a weed, he doesn't just let it keep growing. He's going to pull it up and say, nope, only good stuff is going to be produced in this area. That's what we do with the words that don't produce life, is we're pulling out those weeds and we're replacing them once again with truth. God wants his family and his people to have mouths that are aligned with kingdom of God expansion in the earth, just like we were saying in our confession earlier today. It requires a commitment on our part to determine to be completely aligned with it is written, both not only in word, but also in deed. I was thinking the other day, you know, the beautiful thing about that is that, and I kind of referenced this earlier, is that when we begin to speak in alignment with the Spirit of God, now he's the one who gives all spiritual gifts. We understand that. But we open up our hearts to be used by him. When he can trust this, and he knows that he can trust it, once again, I'm going to reference our beautiful Pastor Jim. I remember a couple was coming out of Runbird, when we was on Runbird, and this couple was getting in their car before they got to the step, and you hear this, Tara, the fruit of your womb is blessed. We didn't even know there was no fruit in the womb. Like, what is he talking about? She goes to the doctor, she's pregnant. In tune with, and God has blessed us. By the grace of God, our children have grown. God is using them to do incredible things. We've never had any trouble with them, nothing. God, just the grace of God. But it all started with a man of God submitted. His mouth submitted, and he was in tune with what the Holy Spirit was saying at that moment and could decree that and see that was in operation. And you all know the story with the kids. I mean, in the beginning, they was under attack. We were under attack. It didn't look like it was blessed. But that was one word that we could always go back to. Because God, you said that the fruit of our womb was blessed. That's just an example. Guess what? God can do that in your life. There's been situations. I was, one time I'll never forget, I was visiting some brothers in a jail one time. And his brother was there, and he started sharing. You know, he had got born again at this thing that we were at. And he was sharing how his heart's desire was to be back with his family. He was like, I've messed up. And my heart of hearts, he was like, I want my wife back. I want my kids back. And out of here, not even, I never met this dude. Out of here, I said, God is going to restore your family. I said, the minute he was getting ready to get out in like 2 months, I said, God is going to restore your family, and the love that you thought had been dried up is going to be restored. And it just, the tears just fell. He said, I agree. I never saw the brother again, but I know that what I spoke came out of my heart, out of my spirit. And as a result of that, guess what? God is going to start doing that in your lives. He's going to start, you're going to be in situations where there are going to be people who need they're going to need that life-giving seed that comes out of your mouth. And you're going to have that opportunity to change the very direction of their life by the words that you declare at that moment. Be open to it. Be open to it. A surrendered mouth to the will, plans, and purposes of God, not only in our individual lives, but in every area of existence, can not only be trusted by God, but empowered by Him to speak things that are even beyond our own comprehension. We just have to be open. Our mouths have to be submitted and surrendered to Him. And when we do that, it's a divine setup, church. It's a divine setup when we allow this thing to be submitted to what He has put in our hearts and start speaking, that seed is going to produce. And so I would encourage you, start celebrating. Start celebrating. God is not by any means began what He's going to do through this ministry. But it starts with, what are we saying? Doesn't matter what it looks like. We used to have an expression, it used to be on the old pulpit that was glass, but it said, faith is F2X was our old little logo that we used, but the expression that was in there is, faith to the extreme is spoken here. That's where God wants us living. To the point where you have faith, let's turn it up to the extreme. What can we trust God to make the devil look so stupid that he resents the fact that he even tried to touch us? And just live in that zone where we continually say what He has promised. That we don't take any other thought except that which it is written has declared belongs to us, and allow that to be so full in our hearts that they can wake you up in the middle of the night and faith is what you'll speak. Faith is what you'll decree and declare. That's the will that God has for us as a church body, both corporately and individually. And when we walk in that realm, everything around our world will begin to transform. We've seen it in bits and pieces along the way, but God is about to make it exponential. But it all starts with that mouth surrendered to Him. Amen? Amen. That's all I have this morning. Brother Kenneth.
Can y'all give me about 5 minutes to share a couple of things?
Sure.
I'm loud.
Right now.
Intercourt, along with what Brother Damon has said, I want to say just a couple of things first. One of the things, and I don't know what all you've shared about what Pastor has said or what's been going on this week, but one of the things that Pastor shared with Ken the other day, he said, I'm so glad that the Word is deep inside of me, or I wouldn't be able to handle this. And that's why it's so important that we have the Word inside of us, because when you start getting all kinds of crazy and bad reports, guess what? You have an opportunity to... And I was sharing with someone this week that they were saying that the enemy had come and just attacked them about, well, you don't deserve this or you don't deserve that. And what came out of my spirit, and I want you to listen to this and I want you to meditate on this because I know it was straight from God. We do not report to the devil. When anything comes our way, we don't report to the devil. So whatever he says to us has nothing to do with us. We don't report to him what God does for us, what we ask God of us. We report to God. So remember that and meditate on that, because I think it'll bless you. I just thank you first for the birthday flowers and gift. Thank you so much, Ethel. That was beautiful. And I want to say that Pastor and I are so proud of our ministers here. We really, really are. Jim is not just, hey, I just don't want to do this anymore. These guys have set, they've learned, they've listened, they've grown, and they are blessing you. Don't just say, well, I wish Pastor Jim was back. God has a plan. These guys are following in that plan. You pray for these guys. and watch them just grow and get better and stronger every day, because they are a blessing and they are of God, okay? That's from me and Pastor Jim. We were going to come to church last Sunday. In fact, I got up early. Jim had had a nosebleed all Saturday night. And part of it was because of blood thinners. Part of it was because his nose gets dry. And, how you pick on when your nose is dry. And anyway, it started bleeding. Well, about 4 o'clock that afternoon, he said, you think if I went to the hospital, they could give me some blood? And it's like, yes, thank you, God. Yes. So Sister Ava came out. We got in the ambulance. I was going to drive Pastor. Ava and I were going to drive Pastor to the hospital. And when we got to the garage, there was a little step down, and he was having a hard time getting up because he was so weak from the loss of blood and not eating and so forth. And so we decided to call 911. So anyway, the bottom line is we got to there, and he said that even in the ambulance, they were shocked that he was awake. When we got to the hospital, of course, they immediately run blood to see what's going on. His potassium level was so high and his sodium was high that one doctor even told me at one point, it was the ER doctor there, and this is what he did. He said, he could go like that. Talking about dying, he could go like that. And when you hear stuff like that, you better know that the Word of God is planted deep inside of you, or you're going to go nuts. So anyway, they started doing all the stuff that they do, and I think Brother Ken came, Brother Steve, Richard, our son, I don't know, so there were quite a few people there. And so they did everything they could do. The main thing they said is, we're going to start dialysis. Well, that's not a word that you want to hear. It's not something that you want to have done. But the bottom line is, you've got to trust God in everything, okay? And if you can hear it's okay to do that, then it's okay to do that. If you hear no, don't do that, then no, you don't do that. So they started dialysis on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And one of those days, his kidney doctor, Jim was down in dialysis. The kidney doctor came in, saw that Jim wasn't there, and I said, he's in dialysis, and he left. Jim said after he left the dialysis room, whatever that is, Jim asked the people there that were doing it, said, do y'all have a good relationship with Dr. Hines? He said, Dr. Hines has never come down here for a patient ever in the past. That's the favor of God upon Pastor Jim, that this doctor cared enough that he went down there to check on Jim to see what was going on. So that was one of the great things. Now they... one of them told Pastor Jim, said, when your numbers are that high, they don't get better. Jim's heart doctor that's been here in Austin has not given us much hope about anything about concerning his heart. You know, just do what we can do until he dies, basically, is what they say. And he came in the other day, and he said he was so shocked and how fast Jim's numbers had come down. They had not seen anything like that. And one of the nurses said, I just can't believe it. It's just, the numbers have just dropped so much. And so God is working over and over. I sent one of these messages. I keep some people updated about what's going on. And I sent one to my sister-in-law. And this is something she said back to me. And it touched me so much. And she said, it's a God thing. Not everyone understands it. All these doctors may not understand it. These nurses may not understand it. And we're not in there preaching, well, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. You know, you just live it. You live it and they see it. North Austin Medical Center saw a miracle man in 2007 and 8. My prayer has been that Seton Hospital at 38th Street see another miracle man. So, I want to thank you all for your prayer, your agreement of what's going on with Pastor Jim. He is going to have to continue dialysis for a little while. The doctor said yesterday that as the dialysis works, his appetite will get better. He will start eating better. He'll start getting more protein in his body. Right now, he's retaining a lot of fluid because they're not on any kind of medication for that. So just be agreeing that fluid that's on him now comes off. They did take over 12 liters off on Thursday of fluid. It's a lot of, you know, if you want to lose weight, just go take some fluid. I think it was about 20, 30 pounds that came off of him. But, and he made a statement that I hadn't heard him say before. He said, as all this takes place, his heart will get better.
Amen.
So, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for continued support. Don't give in to any of the thoughts that might come, because believe me, I've had them. There's nothing that you could hear that I haven't already heard. But God is faithful. And, you know, my concern was after dialysis, well, okay, God, this is not going to be cheap. Who's going to pay for it? Because some of them are saying, well, the VA should pay for it. And the doctor came in yesterday and said, oh, don't worry about the VA. He said, Medicare will pay for it. So, you know, another answered prayer. I mean, it's just one of those things that the enemy said, well, what are you going to do about this, or what are you going to do about that? Well, God's already taken care of it. And Jim's sister said, well, what about this? I said, the way God's already handled everything else, he'll handle this. And then the doctor came in and said that. So anyway, that's just a little bit of update on him. Keep lifting him up in your prayer. I try to keep Richard informed, so if you want to know what's going on, just let us know. He may get to go home tomorrow. We don't know yet. But I love you guys. You're so special to me and Jim. And these young ministers are so thank you. I thank you. And, you know, one thing I want to say is these guys, all these years that they've been a part of House of the Lord, I've never known of one of them to come at them and say, Pastor Jim, I want to preach. Knowing that they had a call in their life. But they're ready now. They're seasoned because they've sat and they've learned and they've listened and they've been faithful to do what God has said to do. And so we do appreciate these. And I want you guys to appreciate them. When they take an offering for these guys, give. You're not taking it out of our hands. Give to these guys. They deserve it. We love all of you so much, and we appreciate you. Just continue to lift up Jim, because we're supposed to be taking a trip to the Dominican Republic in the 1st of June, and we can't do that if he's on dialysis 3 days a week. So I'm expecting another miracle. Sister Ava said she talked to the doctor this morning about it, and he said, well, let's just wait and see. So we're just going to wait and see what God does. Thank you again so much. Thank you for giving me a few minutes. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And I'm anxious to get back up to the hospital to be with my baby. So thank you.
Hallelujah. All right, stand with me. Yes, there is, we'll have cake and punch for Sister Lou's birthday out in the foyer. I'll decree this word over you, and then if you can, be a blessing to Brother Damon. You've heard the word, sow into the buckets up here. There will also be ministers up front to pray and agree with you as well. From Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 27, or 26, 26, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Go out, celebrate the victory. Celebrate the victory that is in your life. Celebrate the fact that you are always led in triumph. Celebrate the victory for our Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. You are a blessing. Go with God.